We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildenbrand. Joining me, as always, over there in beautiful, summery Chicago, Illinois, Dan Rubenstein. Sir, how are you?
I'm not bad. I've got a lot of sun on my person. Does that help people talk? Is that how
I don't think talk? So, but if that's right for you, please, by all means.
I've gotten a lot of sun. I've actually played some tennis. I've done some grilling. I've made some pizza. I had a good hot chicken sandwich Saturday night. Had some friends come up from Texas. So it's been a more active than usual few days. I can't complain. Saw some fireworks from afar. It's been a terrific long 4th of July weekend, and I couldn't be more thrilled to rejoin with my main man, Ty Hildenbrand.
Why, thank you, Dan. Yeah, hope everybody out there had a happy 4th of July holiday weekend. Hope you're all safe and got to see some family, hang out with some friends, do whatever, but a nice weekend, hopefully, wherever our podcast may find you. Don't forget to follow along on social media and go on out to our website, solidverbal.com. The times are changing, I should say, on the website. Working on some website stuff. We've been teasing things coming. There are things coming. Yeah. I promise you, just stay tuned here in the very, very near future. A lot of exciting stuff is planned here over at Solid Verbal headquarters. But Dan,
yes,
we are doing this show a little bit later today. A little bit later than usual. Usually we like to record a little bit earlier in the day. You played tennis, you're tired. I played golf, I'm tired. So we put our heads together.
1,000 years old.
Yeah, put our heads together and said, you know what? We're a little tired. We're a little worse for the wear.
Yeah.
We're a little overheated. And we're feeling a little bit crazy. Little bit crazy tonight, Dan.
Yeah. I was wondering how you, and we can do this at the end of the episode, how you settled. There's so many good songs that have the word crazy in their titles. So we are using crazy as in we are looking forward to the season, because we have season previews beginning in a couple weeks, but we're looking forward to the season. And just, you know, from the hip, from a gambling perspective, where numbers might get a little bit interesting, early lines, because this, look, you like waiting until right before kickoff because you sense motion on a lot of these lines, but also if your gut tells you that Iowa State is underrated or overrated, or that Washington is underrated or overrated, and you are just, you are so keen on following your gut with certain teams based on what you've seen or news or what you think, whatever, this might be the time to grab all sorts of value, correct?
Absolutely. So one thing is for sure. Yeah. The overwhelming majority of the lines that we're going to go through, and we do have weeks 1 through 13. It is not all the games weeks 1 through 13, just as found right now on FanDuel. Some of their featured games each week that you can still bet on if you want to in advance of the season.
Not a sponsor, FanDuel.
Not a sponsor.
Could be.
Could be.
Could be.
These lines are going to move.
Yeah.
To a game, these lines are going to move. So, part of the reason I don't generally go in on a game this early is because it ties up some of the money in the account. You can't use it. You got to wait for like 3 months until presumably you win the bet and then you can reap the spoils. But that's why I don't do it. That being said, if you do have the patience of a dead horse and you are willing to...
What? Is that a phrase?
It is now. To drop a wager now in early July... You could be putting yourself in a position to win some of these bets because, like I said, they're going to move. They never get it right this early. And there are some surprising lines here that I want to discuss with you. So the game is to find some of these early lines, these early games that seem
right
on the surface like obvious winners.
Can I do something? Okay, so you've been complaining about I have a squeaky chair and I've been sitting down recently. I'm going to raise my desk up right now. So I'm like an intense day trader or something like that. I'm going to do the show standing up. I'm standing up right now. We're raising up, so you won't hear the squeakiness.
Okay.
I'm going to assume a full just focused position. There goes a light. I really want to give my all, Ty. I'm really going to give my all with this one. We're going to keep raising. We're going to keep raising. Here we go. Do you hear it raising?
I do. You know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it on my end, too.
Do it
Why
as
not?
Well. Do it as well. Ty, come on.
You may be We're able here. To hear this. I don't know if you can hear it. It's like an electronic thing. Up. Okay.
I want to give my all. Okay.
This is compelling audio content. Here we are.
No, it's kind of...
All right. So...
Sit, stand.
I might be crazy, but in looking at week one, in looking at these five lines... I really like Florida State plus 9.5. We already sort of covered this one, but here are the
tell
lines.
Tell me why you like Florida State. This is very strange.
Here are the lines per FanDuel. We've got North Carolina minus 6.5 against Virginia Tech. Alabama minus 17 neutral cider in Atlanta against the Miami Hurricanes. Georgia versus Clemson. Clemson's favored by a field goal. That one's in Charlotte. We've got Louisville versus Ole Miss. That one's also in Atlanta. Ole Miss is a 7.5-point favorite. And then we've got Notre Dame, minus 9.5 on the road against Florida State. Now, I know Florida State in spots last year and frankly over the last couple years has been a nightmare. I get that.
Yeah.
But there is a lot of uncertainty with this Notre Dame team. Now, I do think Notre Dame is going to be better in 2021 than I expected, looking forward at the end of the 2020 season. Now that I've had the benefit of some research and some reading and some of our really smart Notre Dame friends who actually write about the team and cover it on the ground, I feel a lot better about their prospects. And I'm not saying they're not winning the game. I'm just saying you're losing the winningest quarterback in the history of your program. What happens with Jack Cohn stepping in on the road in Tallahassee against the Noles? They might win by 7. They might win by 8. But to cover a 9.5-point spread means you're winning by 10. And that feels like a bit of a bridge too far for me, especially given the fact that Florida State's now had hopefully a full, like, regular sort of offseason to get acclimated under the Mike Norvell era. And you know they're going to be pumped up for that game at home. So 9.5, getting 9.5 at home, if you're the Noles, that feels like decent value to me.
It will be interesting because home venues, week one, week two, the first home game for a lot of these teams that play in particularly loud, boisterous venues. It's been a couple of years. It's now been a couple of years since we've had a home field advantage for most places like we're used to. So I don't hate it. I don't hate Jack Cohn making his start for Notre Dame. I just don't know. I think if you're going to pick Florida State, you got to like them enough that you think that you could see them winning. It's a home dog. I admire that, but I like a home dog with defense, which is why that just doesn't stand out to me. Florida State's defense was kind of abysmal last year. So that's just, it doesn't stand out to me. That's, I understand your logic, but
who would you have selected from those five games?
It's difficult for me. The Georgia Clemson one feels like a toss up. I really like JT Daniels and what he was able to do with, I think, better coaching at Georgia than he had at USC. And he was healthy finally, right? He had injury issues at USC and he's presumably a lot healthier right now for Georgia, but I'm staying away. Clemson as a favorite and with a quarterback who also seems quite promising. I'm staying away from Bama Miami. That's just a big number and you know, new quarterback. I think I like Ole Miss here. I like Ole Miss, even though their defense was pretty disastrous last year and you could push them around up front. Louisville might be, and it's Louisville. They might be in kind of a disastrous place as a program. They might be. They might not be. But I don't know. The bringing in Luke McCaffrey and then he takes off and Scott Satterfield and the weird flirtation with South Carolina. I don't like what I see, and they gave up so many huge plays, and that feels like a particular mismatch for Ole Miss and games inside. And I, even though I don't like the Ole Miss defense, betting against a program that, I'm not saying Louisville's cratering, but like you have Javian Hawkins opting out in week 10, 11 last year. There are certain signs that I don't love about the Cardinals. And so
I get the
week
logic.
One, I'd go Ole Miss. So yeah.
I get the logic. And Ole Miss is Matt Corral too, who we really like and who is kind of a dark horse. Heisman
no Elijah
guy.
Moore, but yeah, there. I mean, we'll see.
All right, let's move on to week two.
Yeah.
Week two, here are the seven games that are listed on FanDuel. We've got Texas A&M minus 13.5 against Colorado. That one's in Denver. Iowa State favored by 5.5 at home over Iowa. Washington minus 2.5 on the road against Michigan. Oregon, your Oregon Ducks, Dan, a 10-point dog on the road in Columbus against Ohio State. Man, that's a big game. That's a huge game.
Sure.
Stanford, almost a two-touchdown underdog on the road against USC. USC favored by 13.5. And Holy War, Utah minus 7 versus BYU. Also, Texas minus 3.5 versus Arkansas. I don't get that line at all. I don't get that line at all. You and I were as big a fans of Arkansas as humanly possible last year.
Yeah.
They played hard. There was a lot to like there. I think if you're a Hogs fan.
Felipe Franks was good.
Franks was good. Yeah. If you're a Hogs fan, you saw real progress. That was exciting.
Sure.
Has Texas really cratered to the point where they're a...
You're using my C word.
3.5 point favorite against Arkansas? That feels very, very low to me.
I mean, Arkansas has its act together more than Texas does in terms of knowing what they have in a coach and coordinators. And there's promising players on offense that had experience last year when Felipe Franks got hurt. I understand the line. I mean, the defense took a very nice step forward last year with Barry Odom. And Texas is just, they're going to be finding itself early on. So a road favorite against your word is what? Frisky, feisty, something like that. I mean, that's a roll of a dice there with Texas. I'm going with the Hawkeyes here, by the way.
Yeah.
Kirk Ferentz, Matt Campbell has been kind of a one-sided affair. And I understand Iowa State and how much they return, how much experience, how much production. And I'm not a big fan of Spencer Petras Papadakis. But... Iowa, despite some losses up front on defense, despite my questions about their offense, and we've had some weird, it was like 18-17, 13-3, low scoring affairs. It just, there's something about this matchup with Matt Campbell and slow starts with Iowa State that even if they have another magical season, I don't know. There's something in the air with Cy-Hawk that just points me to the Hawks. So I'm going to take the dog there, interstate. So I think that's what stands out to me. I was tempted to go Michigan as home dogs just because we don't know what that defense is going to look like. And I still like a couple of those dudes up front on that defense. But it's a new defense. It's a new coordinator. It's a new system. There's nothing that stands out to me about like a big reason to pick Oregon against Ohio State. And there are reasons to take Ohio State, but that's just a big number. I don't love Stanford's defense, so there's no good excuse for them to get my points. And then Charlie Brewer, the Holy War, I don't want to touch it right now.
I'm not touching
that
game.
So I'm going to go with the Hawks right here. I'm going to go with track record and matchup and the slow startitude that we've seen from the clones at times.
I might be crazy, but that Texas line.
Okay.
That Texas line, Dana.
Who's starting a quarterback?
I have no idea, and I don't care.
Okay. So you whoever it is, you like them on the road against a legitimately decent team.
Correct. Bijan Robinson out of the Wildcat. Correct.
Okay.
Week 3 is hard. Only 3 games listed. Bama minus 14 on the road at Florida. Nebraska on the road, an 18.5-point dog against Oklahoma, a rekindling of an old previous conference matchup back in the day. And Oklahoma State minus 4 on the road against Boise State, Dan. You have any leans of those 3 games?
Not really. I guess I see here you've highlighted Oklahoma, and that would be my lean. I kind of like the idea of betting against Emory Jones because I haven't been thrilled with him as a passer. But also Dan Mullen gets a good amount of benefit of the doubt in terms of developing quarterbacks and getting the best out of them. So with Emory Jones seeming like the guy, that's a lot of points to be a dog in the swamp for Florida. But I'm going to go with Oklahoma here just because, man, I've seen what they can do. And Spencer Rattler looks to be the most promising and surest thing of the returning quarterbacks. And as much as there are still elements of Nebraska that I'm optimistic about, losing the playmakers that they did, Wandale Robinson, like there's just, you got to sell me on something with Nebraska and the fact that it's in Norman and it's such a difficult place to win. I could see Oklahoma turning this ugly. And there was all the acrimony with the scheduling and it's an early game and Nebraska's pulling. Like I think there's blowout potential here for the Sooners.
Yeah, I vacillated here between Florida and Oklahoma, but I ultimately came down with Oklahoma minus 18.
It's a lot of points.
Yeah.
Plus 14 for Florida in the swamp.
It's
a humongous game early on in the season when maybe Bryce Young isn't fully realized. New coordinator. I get why that could be a pick for sure.
Ultimately, though, you got to go Oklahoma there. I just feel like,
I think so.
Like you, it's we know what we have with Spencer Rattler. And that stands for something. Early season matchups, especially this far in advance, you have to lean on what you know. And
I really wish Florida's defense was a clearer picture right now, right? Like it doesn't seem like, especially up front, that if you're like, okay, a pretty good Florida defense at home as double digit dogs, it's going to be raucous. It's going to be crazy. Like they might lose that game, but they're not losing by a couple touchdowns. But it's hard to really find the confidence with that right now.
Week 4, Tennessee versus Florida. Florida, a 15.5-point favorite.
Speaking of.
Notre Dame versus Wisconsin. This one is being played at Soldier Field. Wisconsin, actually, an early 2.5-point favorite. And UCLA minus 7 on the road at Stanford. I highlighted Notre Dame here. The caveat is that I have not fully done the research on Wisconsin yet.
Okay.
Yet. I have done.
You're gonna it's a lot of bad TV from last year. So yeah,
I am aware. Thank you.
Yeah.
But I have done a fair amount of research on Notre Dame. And even though I don't necessarily like them in that opening game on the road against Florida State, at least not to cover 9.5, a small number, a virtual home game in Chicago. And Wisconsin, I don't know. We've talked a lot about Wisconsin so far this offseason. And I have to believe they're going to be better than they were a year ago. But the way they finished out the year left me rather unimpressed. So give me
sure.
Notre Dame plus 2.5 virtual home game, big neutral sider. compared to the other teams listed here, like I could see Florida beating Tennessee by 15.5, but I could also see new upstart Tennessee, new coach getting up for that game and keeping it within two scores. That makes sense to me. Tennessee has talent. They just need to put it together. UCLA, right. Stanford, I don't know where to go on that one.
A lot of that talent left.
Fair point.
Yeah.
UCLA, Stanford, I don't know what to do with that one. I like UCLA this year, probably more than I like Stanford, but I wouldn't touch that game with a 10-foot pole. So I think by default, my answer has to be Notre Dame plus the 2.5.
Stanford might be a team that it might be. Maybe if you are of the wagering kind, dig deeper on Stanford. They might be a team where you would say, I'm going to bet big against Stanford all year long right now. They might be that team because there's, to me, no clear weapons on offense. We'll see. I don't know if it's going to be Jack West or Tanner McKee. I got to update my Stanford research. And Jack West was thrown into like a weird situation last year with the false COVID positive for Davis Mills against Oregon. But I don't have a strong thought on Notre Dame, Wisconsin. You apparently have more faith in Florida State than Wisconsin right now based on that line.
Well,
it's a different situation.
It's a different,
right? Different line, different place.
Totally different line.
I'd be pretty thrilled to give some points wagering against Tennessee in this spot. I think by week four, I think that's a good amount of time, nearly a month in, for there to sort of develop a rhythm offensively in Gainesville. A new coach with a thin roster with Tennessee. I don't think there are any expectations of competitive football this year for the Vols. And you can, I'm totally good with you betting against Stanford and the depth that defense has fallen. And I just don't see the playmakers on offense. But I'm gonna go with Florida here. I like betting against teams that have nightmare potential.
I don't necessarily like betting on teams that have nightmare potential. But mm-hmm. I also don't like Florida coming off the Alabama game in week three.
Sure. Okay. So there's body blow potential there, which is a totally made up metric that we...
right.
I think did Bruce
that's
introduce
a, Bruce,
a
that's
theory?
That's a Bruce Feldman thing. Yeah.
And we just sort of ran with it, the Bruce Feldman body blow theory that I don't think mathematically checks out. I think somebody ran the numbers after like playing successful power rushing teams like Stanford was and Wisconsin was and how opponents did after playing them or Navy, stuff like that. But even still, I hear you. But if I'm placing money on a game, I'm looking for the nightmares.
Week five, Auburn versus LSU. LSU, a 6.5-point favorite at home.
Yeah.
Cincinnati against Notre Dame. So Notre Dame, neutral sider against Wisconsin, then coming back home to square off against Cincinnati. The early line in that game is Notre Dame minus 2.5, which is a low number. Michigan on the road against Wisconsin. Wisconsin, a 9-point home favorite. And then Texas, who I've highlighted again here, is a 1.5-point dog on the road at TCU, Dan.
Coming off of a matchup in which they got thoroughly pushed around by the Frogs.
They really did. They really did.
Yep. And now they're going on the road. Okay.
am I crazy for looking at that slate and saying Texas plus 1.5, basically a pick'em? Mm-hmm. Am I crazy for looking at that one and feeling good about Texas again?
You're not crazy, but when we do our Big 12 preview, when we just allocated the teams, you have the Texas schools and Iowa State, right?
Correct.
Is that how we did it?
I think so.
So you have the Texas schools. So you cannot preview Texas at this point and be like, well, I don't know. I'm not sure about them in year one. Like, you have to be all in on Texas. Like, you cannot make this pick against Arkansas. You cannot pick them as on the road, essentially, as a dog against TCU and then as a favorite against Arkansas. And be anything less than gung-ho and the number one Steve Sarkisian cheerleader online, right?
I was hoping for a little more
between
leeway.
The line. No, but I'm just... If you are looking... We're only in the fifth week of these picks, and you have already selected Texas in 40% of them. So I'm just extrapolating here. I'm just thinking you're like a big, I don't know, Casey Thompson, Hudson Card. You said Bijan Robinson. All, you know, maybe you're a big Pete Kwiatkowski guy. Mm-hmm. Those two high safeties. I don't know. You'll explain it to me, I'm sure.
Who's your selection here?
Tea leaves. That's what I'm reading here. I think I'm going to go Cincinnati.
Really?
I'm going to go Cincinnati here because I like the experience at quarterback. I like the familiarity with Marcus Freeman. And that's going to be a big narrative going into that game. I don't know what to expect out of LSU at quarterback. I don't know what to expect out of Brian Harsin's Auburn team. I don't know what to expect out of Wisconsin's offense, Michigan's defense. There's so many new things at play here. But I kind of know what Notre Dame has in Jack Cohn and Tommy Reese, for that matter. And there's something about the, now that obviously Marcus Freeman's gone, but the Tommy Reese and Luke Fickell tête-à-tête, I kind of give the advantage to Cincinnati's defense. Now, I'm not dug deep, and I will be by week five on, you know, the returning personnel and how they're performing, but to wager against Tommy Reese calling a game against what we believe to be another strong defense, I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, that line jumped out at me. 2.5 is low. That is low.
Yeah.
All right, we got to move. Let's go to week six. Week six, we've got a handful of games here that are legit. Georgia -10 on the road at Auburn. Alabama -13 on the road at A&M. Penn State is a 3-point road dog against Iowa. We've got Oklahoma and Texas Red River Shootout, neutral site. Obviously, Oklahoma -10.5. USC, a 4.5-point home favorite against Utah. And then finally, Boise State -3.5 on the road against BYU, Dan. I struggled here. I struggled with which direction to go. I ultimately settled on Georgia -10 because I have zero idea what to expect out of Auburn this year. Zero idea. 10 feels like a lot, but Georgia should be loaded for bear. So compared to the other teams here, I just, even though it's a little bit higher of a line than I would typically go, I think the answer for me is Georgia. I did think about Oklahoma -10.5, but A, that would be going against my 40% Texas rule thus far. And B, 10.5 in a rivalry like the Red River Shootout doesn't make me feel all that great. So let's go Georgia -10.5.
Wait, so it doesn't make you feel great. So why wouldn't you be taking the points in the Red River?
It's been under, so
it was 12 points 3 years ago, but otherwise it's been under 10 points for, you know, going back 6, 7, 8 years, right? It's 8 points last year, 7 points the year before. Then it was 12 points in the championship game. That wasn't Red River. 3 points, 5 points, 5 points, 7 points, 5 points, different teams every year, different coaches, whatever. But I mean, it is a lot of points, and we do anticipate somewhat of an interesting, like, I think the best of Texas will involve shootouts this year, probably, as they, I know they have pieces that a lot of people like on defense, but they need improvement there. They need to tackle. I'm actually thinking Texas there. I'm thinking there's enough time to get into a rhythm there that it feels shootouty. And I really like the progress of Alex Grinch's Oklahoma defense, but I really like some of the talent on hand, especially the younger receivers at Texas that by, what'd you say? This is week six.
Yeah.
I'm going to take those points.
I guess what I'm saying is I like Texas against teams that are slightly above average, but Oklahoma could contend. So
I just don't know what, like, I'm not expecting a ton from Auburn's defense, but I like Derek Mason enough. I don't think they've had the talent to where they were, you know, 2, 3, 4 years ago. Alabama against A&M is interesting because A&M, with a lot of experience, especially at quarterback last year, got absolutely drilled by Bama. Now you're talking week six of Bryce Young. So 13 doesn't feel like a ton, and A&M did give up a bunch of big plays, but that was through the air, and then, you know, crazy receivers from Bama last year. But, you know, they have crazy receivers this year too. I looked long and hard at that, but I'm not positive on how I feel. I am positive that Red River just recently, given the talent level of Texas and what I believe to be an underperforming talent level, I think it's going to be another competitive game.
Moving on, let's go to week seven, Dan. Four games, Cal against your Oregon Ducks. Oregon, a 15.5 point home favorite. LSU, a 1.5 point home favorite against Florida. We've got UNC, a 3-point favorite at home against Miami. And Cincinnati, your Bearcats, 13-point home favorite against UCF. Dan, who you got?
This one took me a while, too. I'm staying away from Cincinnati UCF. Curious to see what Gus looks like in Orlando. But, it's a lot of points, and UCF could be inventive, and there's still a good amount of offensive skill talent there. I think I'm leaning Cal here. Justin Wilcox has done a very good job against Oregon. Now, the results weren't there, 2-3 years ago when Chase Garbers... It's Chase. There's a Chase in Ethan. I think it's Chase Garbers at Cal. When he got hurt, and that the results didn't look great, but Oregon still sort of snuck that one out. So I'm going to go with Cal here to cover, but Oregon to win. That's a big number against a defense that I still like a good deal.
Yeah, I'm going Miami here. I'm going Miami, and the reasoning is that even though I like Sam Howell, North Carolina lost a ton of talent.
This is week seven.
On offense. I know it's week seven, but hopefully De'Aaron King is healthy. Miami has a fair amount coming back. And I don't know if Sam Howell can do it all by himself against some of the better teams in the schedule. There's another UNC game, I think, later on that I highlighted as well. So this might be the year where I, at least in the first half of the season, go hard against UNC every week. Not because I don't like Sam Howell or even what Mac Brown's building in Chapel Hill. Like, I think he's actually doing a really good job in the recruiting trail. They're doing a good job building up their defense and whatnot. There's just so much talent that walked out the door that doesn't leave me feeling all that great about it. So Miami getting 3, it's a low number. Give me the Canes.
Miami lost this game by nearly 40 points last year. It's fine. And I think North Carolina scored, they probably could have scored 70. They scored 60 plus. So new players, new situations, there's all sorts of novel things coming into this year, and Miami loses a good amount up front on defense that made them as dangerous as they were at times last year. 40 points last year. Okay. It's a lot.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Moving on, let's go to week 8. I'm going to stop playing the sound clips.
Okay.
Week 8. Memphis versus UCF. UCF, 7.5 point favorite. Clemson minus 17.5 on the road against Pitt, Dan, your Pitt Panthers. Yeah. USC Notre Dame is also week 8. Notre Dame's a 3-point home favorite. Michigan favored by 9.5 against your Northwestern Wildcats. Indiana, an 11-point home dog against Ohio State. And then Iowa State favored by 10.5 against Oklahoma State, Dan. Six games here. Nice little six-pack of interesting games.
This is really getting into just like overarching gut about these teams.
Because by
week 8, there's so much data. So this is just like, I am positive. So this is why what did you call this? I might be crazy, but.
Yeah.
So this is, you're planting a flag on this back half of these spreads. So I'd plant a Clemson flag here because I know that they somehow figured out what Pitt was doing offensively and defensively. And did they go up 31-0 against Pitt last year in like a quarter and a half? Something like that they did. So that's the flag I'm planting, that Clemson has something on Pitt. I don't know if it's a WikiLeaks kind of situation, but I don't know. Clemson was all sorts of good. They were on top of things against the Panthers. I don't have any strong opinion again about Gus and UCF. All these new coaching staffs, like I just can't plant a flag. So I'm going to go with Clemson here.
Yeah, I didn't really know what to do. So I highlighted Pitt because it's interesting to me. I might be crazy if I bet Pitt this far in advance.
Sure.
17.5 is a lot.
It's a big number.
Yeah. Big number. Don't know what Pitt is going to have, but it's at least interesting. I'm sure we'll be talking about it in week 8. The Indiana game is also interesting to me. Now, again, week 8, we're halfway through the season. These teams are set. Any issues that Ohio State might have trying to break in a new quarterback at this point, my guess is they're going to be solved. But Indiana plays these types of games really well. They are a worthy opponent in a situation like this where they're a double-digit home dog. I would expect that they will be up for a game like this. And so my first thought here was Indiana.
Suspecting Indiana will be up for the Ohio State game?
I am suspecting.
Oh my God, detective, tell
I
me more.
I cannot reveal my sources or methods, but.
Okay.
Indiana's going to be juiced up for that game. First lean. The second lean was Michigan minus 9.5. And that's not really based on much of anything, but that feels like an abnormally high line to me. And, it goes both ways, right?
So you're saying you like Northwestern and Ann Arbor?
No, I'm saying I kind of like Michigan.
Oh, because it's so abnormal, you think FanDuel knows something that we don't, which is probably true, but yeah.
It goes both ways. It's either too low and suspiciously so, or too high, and then you just got to steer into it. And that 9.5 to me feels like maybe it's artificially high. So again, this is rampant speculation in early July about week 8 lines. So take it with a grain of salt, but just looking it over, a cursory glance, 9.5 feels high to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a fair assumption that Northwestern year in and year out is going to feel the defense somewhere between pretty good and excellent. Last year's happened to be excellent, and Michigan's offense happened to be a mess. Northwestern won their division. Michigan was far from winning their division. Now, there are changes, there are shifts, whatever. I think that's a big number. That was the other one I was looking at, just taking Northwestern. Now, Northwestern's offense was historically inept 2 years ago. Last year, they were merely bad with it was an Indiana transfer, right? His name came from? I've already forgotten names from Peyton Ramsey. Thank you. I knew it was two first names.
Yep.
They merely went from historically inept to bad. So I don't know if that improves. They did make a change at offensive coordinator last year. So, maybe the trajectory is improving. But, yeah, I think I'm just going to go with Northwestern there. If I were to pick. I took Clemson in that week.
Week 9, we've got the Florida-Georgia game. Georgia is an 8-point favorite. Again, neutral site in Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
Florida State is a 27-point dog on the road at Clemson. Michigan minus 6 on the road against Michigan State. Penn State, a 11.5-point dog. Wow. On the road at Ohio State. And Texas minus 7.5 against Baylor, Dan. Got to lean here.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go Baylor, which is such a dumb way to say that name. I'm going to go Baylor here. I need to see something. I like Mike Yurcich, but I need to see probably. Is it Sick or Sitch?
Did Yurcich. We get it? Like, Yurcich.
It is Sitch.
Yes.
I've heard both, and I just didn't put in the work to look up his name specifically before the show. Okay, I like him. I don't like elements of the Penn State offense. I just don't have inklings that Michigan State's offense is going to dramatically improve to the point that it'll make me feel better about them at home as dogs. It's a big number with Clemson, but understandably so, given recent history. Yeah, I'm going to take Baylor. I'm going to bet on Grimes. I'm going to bet on the change to that offense. A home dog with the defense I really like. I don't know if I really hope he goes by Apuika instead of, I think it's Siaka Ika, the transfer from LSU, the mammoth defensive tackle who now rejoins Dave Aranda and Baylor and will be anchoring their defensive line. I like the combination of Baylor overhauling things on offense as a home dog here.
I don't know which direction to go. I initially highlighted Penn State, but there are elements of that team that I don't like either. I just don't have a lean here. Maybe Georgia minus 8. That's a lower number. I'll take that one, I guess. But, you know, you look at Clemson minus 27 points and immediately you think, oh, my God, that's ridiculous. But they could win that game by 27 points. Michigan State feels like too much of a toss up to me. And the Texas Baylor thing, I've already taken Texas too many times. And I was not a Baylor fan last year. Sort of a nightmare. Hopefully it gets better.
If you love Texas like it appears you do, you're obviously free to go back on all of this once you preview the Big 12 and you watch more Texas, or you maybe watch more Sark or Pete Kwiatkowski, whatever you want. I won't hold it against you that much. But if you love Texas and you believe that this is week 9, your love indicates that you think Texas will be somewhat of a Big 12 player by this point. And conventional wisdom also states that there's a good chance Iowa State would be a Big 12 player at this point, given what they returned and accomplished last year. They play the following week. So it is a look-ahead spot, perhaps, for Texas going against Baylor.
Oh, man. I'm just abstaining.
I'm just saying, situationally, it's pretty nice.
No, that's a decent play. I do like that. Let's go Baylor. Why not? Let's just do it.
Like you're indicating that you have high hopes for Texas to sort of shoot out of the gate with Sark. By the way, early Sark returns on recruiting. Not great.
Moving on.
Not great.
Moving on. We've got 3 more weeks to go here. 4 more weeks to go. Excuse me. Week 10. We've got Utah minus 7.5 against Stanford. Mm-hmm. LSU is a 23.5-point underdog against Alabama. We've got A&M at home, favored by 8.5 over Auburn. Ooh, Clemson, I have Louisville twice here in week 10, so I must have screwed that up. We've got Navy, Notre Dame. Notre Dame is favored by 23 points. Iowa State favored by 9 over Texas. We alluded to that one a few seconds ago. And then your Oregon Ducks minus 2.5, Dan, on the road against Washington. You got to lean here.
I'm kind of leaning LSU. I'm kind of leaning LSU because I think their offense should be good enough to score somewhat on Bama. I like Bama comfortably here at home, but I don't know. I'm a believer in Boutte. I'm a believer in this defense to a certain degree. I'm a believer in the new coordinators and everything I've heard about them. I don't want to think too much about Chaz Brewer and Stanford. I don't have strong thoughts about that. And Clemson with big thoughts. I'm happy to take Clemson and give those points against Louisville. Again, I think there's greater potential there. Texas, Iowa State. Texas was winning that game, and then Iowa State came back at the very end. I understand your Oregon pick, and history says Mario Cristobal has done a very good job against Washington, and I don't see the playmakers at skill positions. I like Washington along the line and tight end. I imagine you like betting against John Donovan on some level.
Oh yeah.
So
yep.
I think I like this pick as well. So either LSU or Oregon.
Week 11, we've got UNC minus 6.5 on the road at Pitt. Georgia minus 21 against...
You say USC or UNC?
UNC.
You may have said UNC. Sorry.
UNC. Georgia minus 21 against Tennessee. Miami, an 11.5-point road favorite against Florida State. Penn State, favored by a touchdown at home against the Michigan Wolverines. Oklahoma, a 3-touchdown favorite on the road at Baylor. And Florida, minus 9 on the road at Mizzou, Dan. That Florida-Missouri game is interesting to me, and here's why.
It is to me as well.
It's interesting to me because in the little that we've gotten to know Eli Drinkwitz, this is the kind of game that he plays up for. This is the kind of game where Mizzou is fired up. Now, again, calling all detectives, Mizzou getting fired up for a game at home against Florida, one of their in-division rivals.
Yep.
This isn't rocket science, but I could definitely see Mizzou keeping that one within the 9.5. Definitely see that one. The other game here that jumped out to me was the Pitt game. And it goes back into my principle of betting against UNC. At this stage in the game, week 11, they'll have it figured out. So this is a stupid pick. Don't actually put money on the Pitt Panthers. But Pitt finds itself in an interesting spot where they've got some home dog potential this season that is going to be a lot of fun to explore throughout the course of the year.
Yeah, I mean, there's general chaos generally beneath Clemson in the ACC. So even if you're a believer in North Carolina, I get that. I think I'm just going to go with... Oh man, I think I'm going to go with Mizzou as a home dog here. I think there's... If you are not a big believer in Emory Jones, which I am very much wait and see about what he looks like as the dude for Florida, there are a lot of really interesting lines with Florida's season. And I think this is one of them.
The Pitt one to me is interesting. I don't know. Kenny Pickett coming back for year 15, whatever it is. Defense should be pretty good. Got good wideouts. Like, I don't know. Don't put actual money on this. Again, please don't. But moving on.
You want to hear a wonderful sample size situation?
Sure.
Emory Jones in 2020, he had 35 dropbacks, completed 18 of them. That's 56%. Okay. His QBR against man coverage, which is, again, not all on him, drops, whatever, just misreads, miscommunications with receivers. There's all sorts of reasons why a QBR is not fully indicative against man coverage, whatever. 1.6.
That's not good.
35
right?
dropbacks. That's an insane sample size to extrapolate anything from. But his QBR against zone, 81.4. An 80-point spread between Emory Jones throwing against man coverage and throwing into zone. It's wild.
All right. Two more weeks. Week 12.
He's quietly one of the more interesting quarterback stories going into the season.
I remember when Dan Mullen first got him. That was one of his first big recruits.
Yep. Absolutely.
Went back to Florida. Week 12. Nebraska, a 13-point dog on the road at Wisconsin. Iowa State is an 8-point dog on the road at Oklahoma. Texas, a 1-point road favorite against West Virginia. Yeah. And USC minus 5.5 at home against UCLA, Dan. I went with Texas. Surprise, surprise.
Hello, lover. Hello.
I did it again. One is a low number. It's a pick 'em.
What is going? You know what? I take it back. You have to be all in. You must.
I don't have to. Don't put that
you
on me.
You absolutely have to.
No.
You're going throughout the season. You're just like, well, like Texas there. There's good value with Texas there. Good guy, Texas there.
This is how they get you.
Will you agree? Wait, can you gamble in Pennsylvania online?
I'm looking through my gambling app at these choices.
So it's legal in Pennsylvania.
It is very legal. It was legal here before it was legal there.
Oh, okay. So it's very much legal. I think, and it doesn't not have to be a crazy number, but I think people would appreciate you putting the money clearly where your mouth is with Texas. I don't care if it's $5.
Curse you.
$3. I don't care if it's $12. But I think right now you need to, you've so very clearly planted your horny flag
that
I just throw a few bucks.
How many Texas games did I talk about here? Five, four, five?
How many times did you take Texas?
At least three.
You have Texas Baylor. You have Texas Iowa State listed here, but that wasn't a pick. Texas West Virginia.
I didn't take Texas Baylor. No, I did.
You took Texas Arkansas, Texas TCU. Jeez, man. Burnt orange tie.
Oh, God. All right. Week 13.
Look, if you...
Week 13.
If you make the money off of it, you were right in July. Call me crazy, but I love Texas. That's what you're saying.
Final week, week 13, yep. At least the final week that's listed.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa -5.5 against Nebraska. Apple
Usually
Cup.
Tight.
We've got Washington favored by 13 over Wazoo.
Usually not tight.
Iron Bowl, we've got Bama -15.5 against Auburn.
Variable.
We've got Florida -17 at home against Florida State. Ohio State -11.5 in the game on the road at Michigan. Oklahoma -12.5 in Bedlam on the road at Oklahoma State. We've got Oregon -17.5 against Oregon State in the not Civil War. And finally, we've got Arizona State -23.5 in the Commonwealth Cup. Did I get that right?
The Territorial Cup?
Territorial Cup. I get my cups mixed up. In the Territorial Cup against Arizona.
All right. So there's two, to me, standouts. Well, maybe 2.5, depending on what you feel about Jarrett Garantano and Wazoo. So I guess Michigan could be really, really bad. They could be. And Ohio State didn't have the opportunity last year with one of their best teams ever to stomp a down Michigan team. So, you know, maybe there's something pent up there. Arizona might be a team, especially after giving up 70 plus and just getting completely blasted by ASU. Now, we don't know what's going on exactly with Arizona State, with everything that's being alleged and what, you know, if there's a punishment, if there's a fallout coaching wise, whatever, because of alleged misconduct. But Arizona is kind of in rough shape, and it's very much a year zero situation. So even if there's fallout with ASU, I don't hate that number. I don't at all. That could very well be 45-13 and just comfortably make some money. So I think the move there is Arizona State, but the pent up stomp desire from Ohio State is something that I take also pretty seriously, because you're also talking 13 weeks into what we presume to be CJ Stroud leading the Buckeyes. And so I guess it depends on how you feel about Michigan's ceiling offensively, but 11.5 is not that many points considering what Ohio State has done to Michigan lately. So I think Arizona State's slightly safer, but the ceiling for destruction probably rests in Ann Arbor just with the visiting team.
I think I go Iowa here.
This game's in real tight and close, though. Yeah,
it has, but I am not sure what to expect out of Nebraska this year. Nebraska's got a tough schedule. There's a lot of pressure on Scott Frost. Their skill talent, especially like at running back, at receiver, leaves a bit to be desired. Their defense at all three levels leaves a bit to be desired. That's not to say that this game's going to be a shootout, because I was involved. It's clearly not, but
right.
I don't know what state of mind Nebraska's going to be in come week 13. 5.5, that's a touchdown. Can Iowa win by a touchdown? Yes.
All right. I mean, I don't know what to expect out of Iowa. I don't think, is Keith Duncan done for Iowa? I expect you to know instantly about kickers for Iowa, Ty. I think he's done.
I believe so. Yes.
That worries me because he had that great move against Nebraska. I just don't want to touch that game. I don't have any thoughts, strong thoughts about those offenses quite yet. So I will stick with my picks. I will stick with ASU and Ohio State as standing out to me.
All right, there you go, Dan. Play the guitar riff one more time. Get it on out. Okay.
By the way, in terms of songs you could have chosen for a show that you're calling something crazy, call me crazy, but, or might be crazy, but, Crazy Train, not number one on Spotify when you look for crazy. Gnarls Barkley, number
Gnarls
one.
Barkley. What about Beyonce? Beyonce's got
Beyonce, number three, Crazy in Love.
Right.
Number four, Crazy Bitch, Buck Cherry.
Okay. Hey.
Yo, crazy bitch. Crazy on You, Heart, number six. Axel F by Crazy Frog, number five. That's the Beverly Hills ringtone.
Yeah.
You've got Afro Man at number seven with Crazy Rap, featuring Colt 45 and Two Zigzags, as we all know. Crazy Little Thing Called Love, number eight. Aerosmith Crazy, number nine. And then heartbreaking song, Patsy Cline with Crazy at number 10.
Interesting.
A lot of classics there. Yeah.
Write in solidverbal@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts on all these games. Went through 13 weeks. Not all the games, just the ones that were listed here in the very, very early going. Don't forget to head on out to verballers.com, where we do a bunch of fun extra stuff. We're going to be doing more extra stuff. We're going to be talking about that extra stuff very, very soon. So stay tuned. Also, don't forget to follow along on social media. And that's all I got, Dan.
That's all you have. Yes. Ty, you have undersold the next few weeks of the show. We are doing a crazy number of in-depth previews. We are doing a show in like a week and a half. That is 12 years in the making again.
Correct.
So let's see. Today is the 5th. So it will be up
16th.
That's a Friday?
Friday morning, yeah. On the Patreon.
So on the Patreon, learn more at verballers.com. An unbelievably fun community that we've built up. On the 16th, 6 a.m. Eastern time, a show more than a dozen years in the making. So could not be more thrilled for that show. And you undersold it. So that's coming up. Previews are coming up. More video stuff is coming up. All sorts of, just pay attention to verballers.com. New and exciting elements to our Patreon community and experience. I couldn't be more excited, Ty. We've got a lot of football, just college football conversation and stupidity coming up here. No better time than the present to subscribe or follow if you haven't. And take a look at verballers.com for more info on our thriving, wild, sexy Patreon community.
For that guy over there, my good friend Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildenbrand, we will talk to you all on Thursday. In the meantime, stay safe, stay happy. By all means, stay soft.
Peace.